The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
It's all on for the 29th and the starting gun is to be fired on Friday. The Taoiseach has officially spilt the beans. What does a Trump White House mean for little old Ireland and its big old trade surplus? And is the Irish government sending mixed messages in welcoming the Palestinian ambassador but delaying the passage of the Occupied Territories Bill? We'll have all of that and more on tonight's Late Debate. Joining me in studio tonight are Barry Ward, Fine Gael Senator and their Shannon spokesperson on Justice, Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin TD for Meath East and party spokesperson on Climate, Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent TD for Roscommon Galway, and Louise Byrne, political correspondent of the Irish Daily Mirror. You can text us on 51551, WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32, or you can email us on latedebate@rte.ie. You can stream the programme at rte.ie/Radio 1. Of course, you can watch us on the RTE News channel. The choice is yours. Louise, the beans are spilt. Beans, yeah. Beans, good for the heart. We now know when it'll all start.
Oh,
as the old
good.
Rhyme goes.
That was very good now, Colm. Yeah, I think this has been the worst kept secret for an awful long time, the date of the Irish general election. I think we've all been speculating for a long time. It was on Friday, November 29th. I think a lot of people were speculating it was on that date because they didn't want it to be on the date of the toy show the following week on December 6th.
The announcement of the election nearly got as competitive as the election itself, at least amongst coalition leaders.
Yeah, there was a little bit of competitiveness, and I think, you know, one trying to outdo the other earlier. So Taoiseach and Micheál Martin is appearing on The Tonight Show on Virgin Media this evening, and in the course of that interview he revealed that Taoiseach Simon Harris will dissolve the Dáil on Friday. He'll go to the park, to the Phoenix Park, he'll go to the Orsán Uachtaráin, he'll meet Michael Dee, and he'll ask him to dissolve the Dáil. Now, a clip of that was shown on the 5:30 news on Virgin Media, and it was really the confirmation that I think we all had guessed. There was kind of some speculation that perhaps the Taoiseach might ask the President to dissolve the Dáil tomorrow before he went to Budapest. He's going to an EU meeting. But it had kind of been thought that it might be Friday, and the Taoiseach went and he said it on Virgin Media, and lo and behold, about half an hour later the Taoiseach pops up on the 6-1 news.
He wasn't having that.
You know, we're in an election now. There's no more friendly. We're not coalition partners anymore. We're apparently up against each other. So the Taoiseach, he went on and he said, I will dissolve the Dáil on Friday and election date will be November 29th.
Alright, well, never mind the competition. Here he is on the RTE 6-1 giving the date.
You are coming back from Budapest on Friday lunchtime, I think. Can we expect you on Friday afternoon to announce the dissolution of the Dáil?
Yes. As I've said very clearly over the last number of weeks, we wanted to get the finance bill passed. It's important that we underpin the budget. We didn't want to be knocking on people's doors till we have tax cuts actually passed into law. There's important work to be carried out in the Dáil and the Shannon today and tomorrow. It's my intention then to seek a dissolution of the Dáil by President Higgins on Friday. And as I would have discussed with the other coalition leaders, it's my hope that we will have polling day in this country on the 29th of November. And I'm looking forward to the weeks ahead and asking the people of Ireland for a mandate.
Now, that wasn't so hard, was it?
David McCullough there interviewing the Taoiseach. No surprise, really. The finance bill passed, was it by 75 to 55 last night in the Dáil? We were covering other petty matters on the programme between 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning last night, which we might return to later in the programme, that issue of the other November election. But interesting, the Taoiseach saying that we couldn't be knocking on doors talking about tax cuts until the finance bill was passed.
It
might be something prominent in the election campaign.
I think it will, and one government TD made a joke to me last week that, you know, Simon Harris could bring the finance bill in his pocket to the Oris and ask Michael D. Higgins to sign it if it passed the Dáil and the Shannon, and then to dissolve the Dáil and away we go. But we have heard this, the Taoiseach, quite a few times, and I think that's why everyone knew this week that the election would be called, because he kept saying it's when the finance bill passes, it's when the finance bill passes. That wasn't expected to happen for a couple of weeks, and it was guillotined yesterday in the Dáil. It was subject to 4 hours of debate and it was voted through. As you said, it was in the Shannon this afternoon, and I think, you know, once it got past all those stage, I think it was very clear that everyone was out of Leinster House.
All right. There were some heated moments in it, and actually one area where comments that were made had to be withdrawn. If you could run us through that low light of the finance bill debate.
I could. So in the course of the debate, Danny Healy-Rae was up on his feet and he was talking about broken promises by the government and the USC and so on and so forth. And he said that very few people had voted against the carbon tax, at which point Paul Murphy interjected and he had said that they had. Now, as people might be aware, Paul Murphy and his wife, they welcomed their first child. The child is, I think, about two now, and they said that they weren't going to gender that child. And it was reported upon in the media at length at the time. And so when Paul Murphy interjected during Danny Healy-Rae's speech in the Dáil last night, Danny Healy-Rae said something along the lines of, well, what would you know? You don't even know if your child is a boy or if your child is a girl. And as you can imagine, that didn't go down very well. And there was... not my language, but there
well,
was...
Well, we're after the watershed. Go on.
Not my language, but Paul Murphy responded and saying, you're a fucking asshole, was his exact words. And he called him an asshole quite a number of times, as did other people, as did Labour's Jed Nash. And Jed Nash called for an apology to be made to Paul Murphy and his family. Roisin Short Hall called Danny Healy-Rae a disgrace. The Ceann Comhairle then intervened, asked for the comments to be withdrawn. And Danny Healy-Rae, he did withdraw them, but he also said that it was a matter of fact. It was something that Paul Murphy had said about his child. But I think there was deep discomfort across the chamber last night about the thoughts of a toddler really being dragged into a debate like this.
Right. Anyway, that is now expunged from the Dáil record. And I think part of that, at least, interaction silenced from some of the stuff that was online, some of the exchanges between the Ceann Comhairle and others. OK, let's go to our panel on this. Barry Ward, the Taoiseach, saying we couldn't go to the doors and talk about tax cuts without the finance bill being passed. Is that, can we see, are we to assume that that'll be the central plank of Fine Gael's offering in the upcoming election then?
Well, in fairness to Simon Harris, he's been consistent all the way through that there was a responsibility for the government to put its money where its mouth was, literally in terms of the budget. So the budget statement that was made on the 1st of October is just that. It requires legislation to ground it and to back it up, and they always said that that would be passed. It has been passed, even though it hasn't been signed into law or anything like that, but the government always said it would be passed, and it has done exactly that. I think what Simon Harris is saying is, you know, we have made this statement, we need to make it reality. But of course it's going to be part of the government's campaign. I mean, the fiscal management of this country is a major stay in what Fine Gael is bringing to the people in terms of its record on managing the economy, having the country in the place it is, given where it was when Enda Kenny came to government in 2011, and where the government is now as the fastest growing economy in Europe, where this state is fiscally, is an incredible achievement. So of course we will be standing on that record, amongst other things.
All right, Darren O'Rourke, if we've learned one thing from the US election, there are many issues one could fight an election on, but it seems the bread and butter issues are the logical thing to fight the election on.
And I'm sure this election will be fought on the bread and butter issues, and I think people will be faced with a real choice, an option for change through Sinn Féin, or an option for more of the same, 100 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. We're out canvassing, busy, and I think when you listen to the people, they're not shy in telling you what the issues are, and they are cost of living, they are the housing crisis, and that has many different manifestations, whether it's adult children living at home, whether it's people on social housing lists, whether it's people not being able to get rental properties or afford rental properties. It's the cost of childcare, if you're lucky enough to be able to get a childcare place. It's access to sufficient public transport, for example, in the commuter belt area like my own. These are the real issues that people are facing. I think relative to my own portfolio, it's the cost of electricity, the cost of energy, cost of heating your home coming into the winter. And I think that's really what people will want us focus on. And I have to say, if Fine Gael are intending to contest the campaign on the basis of auction politics of taxation cuts, I think that will be comfortable ground for Sinn Féin and for others, because people want to see investment in their communities. They want the housing crisis sorted. They want the health crisis sorted. They want investment in water infrastructure, in transport infrastructure. They want something that in 10 years time that they can look back and say there was an opportunity there when the economy was in a strong place, and we need to benefit from that.
Michael Fitzmaurice, there's plenty of money there.
to be spent. There's plenty of demands for it to be spent. This is going to be an election, would you imagine, of bread and butter issues largely based on the cost of living?
Well, it is going to be an election and basically the economy and bread and butter. While there were some good things in the budget, I'm not going to go saying there wasn't, the effects of that with most people that are working won't be felt until January sometime, and for a lot of people, if they're on salary, it's in the beginning of February. And if you look at a country that is awash with money, if you look at, as Darden has pointed out, the likes of our housing crisis, if you look at the likes of the disability sector, where unfortunately, if you're a person with autism, severe autism, there isn't a place for you to be if you need residential care. If you look at, you know, the difference in agriculture, for that matter, a lot of different sectors are feeling hurt. And I know that the budget will help some people that's working. But there are a lot of sectors, say if you can't get a house today or your youngster has gone to Australia because they couldn't afford a house, the budget isn't going to do anything for them in the next few weeks or the next few months, to be quite frank about it. We need to get on top of that type of stuff. I think it will be an interesting election. A lot of promises have been made. And I know auction politics, but like, people should look back to the last 5 years. Where are we in the line of disabilities? Where are we in the line of teachers at the moment in school? Where are we in the line of housing? Yes, there is houses being built. I'm not going to say there isn't. But the volume of houses that we need, where are we on the whole immigration in areas around the country? Where are we on balanced regional development? If you look at the EU report in the West and the Northwest, you can see it there. It's not me saying it. There are things like that. And in the agricultural sector, the one big problem that's happening at the moment is the uncertainty. The one thing you need is certainty going forward for an area to flourish. And if you have uncertainty, then you are creating a vacuum of people basically not investing and not driving forward.
Okay, Louise, that's quite the menu of issues there. We began with tax cuts, but we've had a number of issues laid out. But in general, people have professed to say that they make up their mind at election time on the likes of health. I think during the Celtic Tiger era in the polling leading up to the election, a lot of people said they'd base their vote on health. And in the end, it seemed they'd made their decision on the number of tax cuts that were on offer and the money that was being put back in their pocket.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Darren is probably right. I don't necessarily know if people vote based on tax cuts anymore. I think, you know, I think the electorate are smarter than that, to be perfectly honest. And I think they've learned the hard way that they've had to be smarter than that. And I think when you see the crisis that some of our hospitals are in, I think that will be a big thing. But I think what's been interesting in elections of late is that it's always the banana skin and the thing you don't see coming that becomes the big issue. If you look back to the election in 2020, say, you know, it was the pension age, everyone was fighting over what the pension age should be, and suddenly it became this big, huge issue. You had the major faux pas from Fine Gael when they said that they were going to have a commemoration for the Royal Ulster Constabulary or the Black
Royal Irish
Constabulary, beg your pardon. And, you know, and all these things that became massive, massive big deals during an election. And, you know, that's not something like that's not in your manifesto. But I think it will be housing. I think it will be health. I think people appreciate tax cuts. Michael's right. They appreciate them, but they'll see them in January, February. So it's not really much use now. And I think what the government will be hoping now is that perhaps the double benefit payments might, you know, entice people. But I do genuinely think people are smarter than that.
All right. Barry Ward, there was an exchange between Holly Cairns of the Social Democrats and the Taoiseach at Leaders' Questions, where the Taoiseach was itemising the number of one-off payments that we put back in people's pockets and taking issue with her being critical of government spending, but at the same time asking her to enumerate which ones are the ones she wouldn't go forward with. And quite a tetchy exchange on the issue of disability supports as well. I mean, do you expect that to be a central plank of the kind of election debates we're going to have, or do you think it's going to be steamrolled by the money issue?
Well, no, I mean, Holly has been very effective at identifying critiques and things she's not happy with. Less good, I think, at identifying solutions or how the Social Democrats would solve those problems. I think just in reference to what's been said about the various payments and grants and things like that that are there. There is nobody in the government, or certainly nobody in Fine Gael, who thinks that an extra payment is going to convince somebody to vote for Fine Gael. That's not the issue. The issue is not auction politics, as Darren said, but financial management. And what Fine Gael has done in government is to manage the economy prudently, not actually to indulge in auction politics, not actually to try to buy people's votes, but to get to a situation where there is money available and it is entirely appropriate in those circumstances that you give it back to people who need it at this time and who are the ones who paid it into the economy in the first place. Aren't gaps. Of course there are, and they need to be plugged. And yes, they'll be part of the debate. And I was on the doors this evening talking to people. If you have somebody, if you're talking to somebody who has a child with additional education needs, that's their issue. If you have somebody with a child with autism, that's their issue. If you have somebody with a disability problem or who needs a respite, that's their issue. They are all the issues, and all of us deal with them at the doors all the time.
But people will see and hear regularly that we live in a very healthy economy, and more often than not, they'll say, "Well, where's the evidence of it?" And they point. They point to just those incidents where. And I think the government's approach is to make money available for services and at budget time, and then to look again at them 12 months later. When realistically, the issue of children's disability networks teams, the shortage of speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, psychologists, has been there for decades. And Fine Gael have been in power during that time, along with Fianna Fáil for a lot of the time. There has been no improvement in relation to it. So I can give the example of my own area in County Meath. We follow these figures faithfully, asking parliamentary questions. And what the government will say and government speak is, we make money available. We've provided for new posts. The posts are unfilled. So what you have is increased funding, increased posts available, but they're not filled. Why? Because we're not training enough people. We don't pay them. There's discrepancies between charities and the HSE. We can't retain people because the work environment is not healthy.
Before I go to Barry Ward, for example,
they can't get housing. What's
your prescription on that? Are you talking about multi-annual funding, or do you have a particular switch you could pull that would have an improved outcome?
So it's a comprehensive plan, and it would be a lie to say that there's a quick fix in relation to it, but it needs a comprehensive plan, multi-annual funding. Sinn Féin and David Cullinan has set out this plan and launched it. It's very ambitious. It involves looking at every facet of it. So are we training enough people? Can we give them a job guarantee? Sinn Féin's proposal to ensure that we're not losing them out of the system. How do we recruit them? How do we retain them? Retaining them is looking at all of those facets that I talked about. And it's not just about having that plan, but an important initiative that Sinn Féin have. That plan, workforce plan for our health services, will sit with a cabinet subcommittee to ensure that there's the political oversight and focus on it.
All right, Barry Ward, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, Darren seems to think that saying or having an economy that's functional means that everything is utopian and everything's perfect, there's nothing that has to be dealt with. That's not the case at all. But you can't deal with anything without that functional economy, and Sinn Féin doesn't understand that.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's look at that health plan. The fundamental kernel of the Sinn Féin health plan is, let's spend more money on it. That's what's
it's
in
not,
there.
No,
and Darren
no,
talks.
No,
let me explain.
Nonsense.
Now, let's look at exactly what's in it, Darren.
So, Darren,
you talked about the workforce plan that's in there. So, for example, one of the suggestions is that we would employ GPs under a public scheme.
Well, just for the benefit of the listeners, yeah. the case study that Darren O'Rourke was outlining there was the disability thing. So maybe in your own interest and in the interests of having an engaged debate on that, maybe pick up on that.
At no point in the plan have they identified where they're going to find the staff to provide these services.
We haven't.
What you've said is we'll have more people. We will have more GPs.
We'll train them.
We'll train them. Where are they going to come from? They haven't identified. So the very things that Darren is complaining about.
I have spelled it out.
The very things he's saying the government isn't doing this. They haven't said how they'll do it.
Let me just come back because that's nonsense.
I will come back to you, but Michael Fitzmaurice hasn't been in on this.
Let me just outline a few things. If someone needed residential care probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, they were able to access it. If a child at the moment needs assessment, they cannot get it for 2 years. That's the facts. But if you have $2,000 in your arse pocket, you can get it pretty quick. If the solution there is, if there aren't the people, and I'm bringing solutions as well as outlining the problem.
I think even people at this age with $2,000 in their back pocket are finding it difficult.
Yeah, but at least you can. You're. It's 2 years there. At least you'll get you within the 3 to 6 months. But if they cannot get it in the public sector, well, then pay for it like the purchase treatment refund, which is a good scheme, that type of a way. On top of that, at the moment, we've gone down a different road of where we were in a lot of healthcare. If you need someone that needs residential care, it's a lot of private providers now that will put a figure of 1 million to look after a person for the year. That's the figure. Between 700,000, 800,000 and 1 million. And what we have done, we have gone away from basically building the state services to now getting private providers who will pick and choose on the severity of the person, unfortunately. And I believe that within the next 10 years, we've seen Enda Kenny stand up, apologise, we've seen different Taoiseachs for different things. Within the next 10 years, I believe that a Taoiseach will stand up in the Dáil and apologise for those youngsters that haven't been given the chance, because if they don't get the chance between age 2 to 8, it's game over.
You're referring to the various Taoiseach and their apologies for people treatment of people in state institutions. Barry Ward.
It's not perfect, and I agree with what Michael has said. There are serious problems and serious deficits. But let's just be clear about what Darren was talking about. Darren essentially said they have a plan to solve it all. Yes, it might take time, he says.
You have made that point, and I do want to let Darren O'Rourke respond to
but
that.
But they haven't identified how they're going to do it. They haven't identified how they're going to find those people.
He wants to respond to that point. I just need to let Darren O'Rourke respond to that.
So Barry's made the same point twice, but in my last contribution, that's exactly I set out exactly what Sinn Féin would do to address the capacity issue. Now, I don't mind having a policy debate, but we can't have it on the basis of a claim from government that the policy doesn't exist. So we've spelled it out. We've published it. We welcome the opportunity to engage in relation to it. Talk about the parts you don't agree with. Don't pretend
where
that it doesn't.
Where are you going to find the GPs?
No, don't pretend.
Tell me where you're going to find them.
Don't pretend it doesn't exist. So what we have said is that you increase the training places. So by 100%...
And where are you going to find the people to fill them?
Sorry, now. Let me make the point. We increase the training places by 100% for allied health professionals and by 60% for GPs. We also give them a job guarantee, so we're not losing them out of the system. We also go abroad, and we know from the likes of Niamh Humphreys and the RCSI, who has researched the reasons why our doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals are in Australia and the push and pull factors, and we address those push factors and bring them home.
Okay, what's wrong with that, Barry Ward? I could bring Michael Fitzmaurice in.
There isn't a difficulty for people who are qualified GPs finding a job. That's not the problem. And increasing
the
training, saying, okay, Darren, that's fine, but saying you're going to increase the training places, how does that stop them from leaving the country? Saying that you're going to give them a guaranteed public job, how does that stop them from leaving the country? It doesn't.
Okay.
You have not identified in any way how you're actually going to find the people to fill the position that you say you're going to create.
I do have to let Michael Fitzmaurice in.
If you want to address problems like that, as we've outlined in a policy document we've done, you've got to dangle the carrot. And when you're going, if someone is going to college, first of all, in my opinion, the likes of...
What do you mean dangle the carrot? Do you mean
dangle
financial
the carrot
incentive,
to make it financially attractive? First of all, there's a lot of families around this country. If you send someone to college in Dublin and you're from the country, you'll need 15,000 to 18,000 handy in the year. Fair point? Would that be fair to say? But if a government brings in an incentive that if we will pay for accommodation, bring in an incentive where you're stuck in a sector, and in frontline sectors we're in trouble, be it Gardaí, be it doctors, nurses, all of that. But the one thing I would say, there's no free dinners in any of this. What I would say is you give the person the opportunity to get that education, to get that it's not costing them. But after that, there'd be a 5 to 7 year payback that they would stay in this country. That's the outline of what we have done to try and curtail it. I'm not saying that you give something for nothing, but that you give people the opportunity. And on top of that, more spaces, as has been outlined by both panellists, more spaces are required. And in my opinion, the point system to be a doctor in this country is ferociously high.
Okay.
Can I just say briefly, because I do want to get to another couple of issues.
Well,
on this point, you know, the government representative here as much as saying is things can get no better than they
That's
are.
What I'm
right.
saying.
So in terms of retaining staff here and ensuring they don't leave, we look at the environmental factors. What are doctors and nurses saying to us, saying that they don't like about the system here? They can't operate to the limit of their licence. They're not part of a team. They're on their own. They don't have opportunity for training. They don't have opportunity for career progression. They don't have opportunity to use their skills at the maximum level. Address those factors, and Sinn Féin have the plan to do that. It's clear from government here that they have no idea to tackle
Barry Ward,
the
one response to that, and then
the Sinn Féin plan says. What the Sinn Féin plan says is we'll put them into a public job so they have a fixed income. That's not what most GPs want. That's not what they want. Yes, we should increase their ability to use their skills. We should put greater faith in them, and we should give them better results.
The other thing is lifestyle is the thing we have to look at. Mm-hmm. Where one time ago a doctor in a rural area, you could knock them up day or night. People want to have, be it a weekend off or whatever, so you need more people and you need to make it attractive.
Okay. GPs have specifically said that they want public contracts to be able to... Some of them don't want to be entrepreneurs. Okay. That's the base of the public contract.
We'll come back, no doubt, in the course of the election campaign. We'll have a full health debate. I do want to go back to Louise Byrne here on the political issue and the inter-coalition relations as we get towards the final couple of days of this government. The Green Party criticising government partners today for blocking $3 billion climate and nature fund. It's daggers drawn at this stage, is it?
Yeah, so the gist of this was Eamon Ryan wanted this to go to cabinet yesterday, and it's understood that it went to the leaders meeting, Roderick O'Gorman, Taoiseach Simon Harris and Tánaiste Micheál Martin on Monday evening, and the Fianna Fáil and the Fine Gael leaders blocked it. And it was
What's the advantage, just for listeners' benefit, what's the advantage of bringing it to cabinet? Is that so political correspondents can afterwards report that a memo was brought to cabinet that says 100 million is going to go here, 100 million is going to go there, half a billion is going to go there, and this is the way the Nature Fund, and it's got the Green Party stamp on it. Is it an exercise in political communication, or does it drive the policy on any further?
In theory, it's supposed to drive the policy on, and it's meant to, you know, get the rubber stamp of this money will be spent on XYZ, and this is what we're going to use this money for, and if it needs government approval, but then therefore it has to go to cabinet, and then it's set into the Dáil, into the Seanad, into the one of the Oireachtas committees, however it is that it needs to make its way through. But it went to the leaders meeting, and it was either removed from the agenda or wasn't put on the agenda by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And I think this is what you know, it's kind of the start really of the election, and this has been going on for a couple of months now. You've seen Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil kind of trying to distance themselves from the Greens. It's quite clear they're trying to jettison the Greens coming into the election, and you know, there hasn't been a huge amount of love for the Greens, especially among the kind of the rural backbenches in Fine Gael and in Fianna Fáil, and kind of, you know, everything is the Greens' fault, and, you know, the Greens can't even look at a train or a bus route and they're suddenly in trouble, and it's what about the roads, what about this? And I mean, I think it's the start of it, and it's likely that the Greens aren't going to perform as well in this election as they did in the last, so perhaps it's the government trying to get rid of them while they still can.
All right, Barry Ward, why gang up on Roderick?
I don't think there's any ganging up. If this is what you're putting down as knives drawn, then I think it's going to be a very disappointing election for you.
I think that
yes, if this had been on the cabinet agenda, but it was never going to progress through the Dáil or committees under this government. As we know, the Dáil is going to be dissolved on Friday. Right. There will be no more committees or Dáil sittings after that. So it'll be up to the next government that will hopefully be formed before Christmas to do that. But there's nothing wrong with the policy, but choices have to be made for cabinet meetings as to get through material that can be gotten through and that can actually be effective.
And allowing the Greens. Okay, so the political communication issue is something that maybe the government wanted to head off at the pass, is it?
No, again, I think you're saying something that isn't necessarily there, Cullum. I think choices have to be made.
Well, Smith saw it was there. He was very disappointed.
And look, I would never deny my constituency colleague an opportunity to make a political point. That's not what it's about,
though. Okay, you've made your point. Michael Fitzmaurice.
Last July, 12 months, I got tipped off about the Nature Restoration Law. This is what this is all about. In the budget, we were hearing a day in, day out that there was a $3 billion fund going to be put in place. That was brought in the budget last year. Not this budget, the one before. Last spring, when the Nature Restoration Law was being debated in Europe, which we would have opposed very strongly.
The additional money, isn't it?
No.
Or the lack of additional money.
If money solves a problem, then it's never a problem. We were opposed to the Nature Restoration Law. Eamon Ryan, the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, everyone stood up. Every Fine Gael MEP and Fianna Fáil over in Europe decided to vote with that. Simple as that. And now when we were blue in the face hearing about them on radios, we heard the Greens, we heard everyone telling us there's 3 billion there, it's there. But what it is for, and let's know what it is for. It's not for ordinary farmers. It's for major infrastructural projects that they are doing, the likes of Bord na Mona and all of that. This is being tossed around. And now it's convenient when over the voted for everything to bring it on top of the agricultural sector, all parties in government, so let's not go saying the talk about people, TDs in rural Ireland that were in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, they voted for it as well. And now we are back to the stage, they're coming to the election. Well, look, at we'll kick these guys down the road now, the Greens, okay, and we'll show now that we're gone on the people's side, because you know what it might do? Get us a few votes and it might get us into the Dáil.
It's back to being a mystery.
It's back to auction politics.
Okay, Darren O'Rourke.
Well, it is that, and that's been a major problem. In relation
your
to
your MEPs and voted against it.
Against the nature. And actually, this type of fund is exactly what is needed, but it needs not to be opaque, and it needs not to be at some time in the distant future. So in our alternative budgets for the last 2 years, we've provided a nature restoration fund that would support ordinary farmers and landowners in nature restoration.
And when you say nature restoration fund, do you mean this fund, this 3 billion?
A fund, not this fund, but Sinn Féin's.
How much would be in your fund?
Sinn Féin's alternative. Well, it's up to 750 million, and we have a separate fund of 1.25 billion in our alternative budget this year.
Okay. All right.
But be clear that it's for major infrastructural projects. It's not for Johnny Farmer.
Well actually, there is a question mark over, you know, in terms of the direction of funding. Like, so there's a question that we have raised in terms of like where this funding is going to go whilst it's sitting in ISIF or elsewhere.
But the figure was never discussed in the European debates. That 3 billion euro figure is a matter for each of the member states. It wasn't discussed in Europe.
So Ireland gave an undertaking. It was given it in the last budget. Europe gave no undertaking. And furthermore, in the cap negotiations in Europe this week, the agricultural minister, the new guy from Luxembourg, has stated very clearly that under the new cap, he has no, absolutely no funding. Which
the cap is a separate budget, but
the environment section in Europe has no funding either.
We'll have an agriculture debate too, as well as a
health
debate.
I hope you do,
as well,
because it doesn't get much hearing.
Well, we've had you on before, and we've talked about it before. We had you on in the Nature Restoration Law. No complaints about this product here. We're going to come back because maybe you got some sleep last night, maybe you didn't, but we're going to look at the US election after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.